Future Hacker. Life. Path. Future.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Future Hacker. I'm your host, Maria Taigi, and today we're talking to Raif Al-Bastanli. We're having a great conversation about renewable energy technologies, in special solar and wind power. Raif is an entrepreneur and electrical engineer graduated from the American University in Dubai. He's passionate about creating tech solutions to help or improve people's lives. He founded Solari Solutions back in 2020, a startup in the field of energy solutions products and services utilizing renewable energy sources. Their mission is to become the leading provider of innovative solar solutions and power systems and facilitate the reach of electricity to everyone, anytime, anywhere. Their vision is to promote the use of renewable energy and help reduce carbon footprints for a sustainable future. So you can see this has everything to do with Future Hacker, right? It's great. It's the first time I'm covering the future of energy, especially renewable energy technologies. So hi, G. It's so great to have you with us today. How are you doing?
Hi, Maria. The pleasure is mine. Thank you for this very nice introduction. I'm doing fine. I'm really glad having this opportunity. So thank you again. Hope you're doing well as well.
Yes, everything is great. And I'm really excited about this topic. I live in Brazil, for the listeners that are not aware. And I have, actually, my home have a solar power system as well. But it's just something that, you know, we have a long way to go, right, to make it more available to people. So, you know, I'd love to begin our conversation with your stories. You founded the company, right? So what was your source of inspiration when embarking in your portable solar energy project?
Very good question to start with. So basically, see, I believe every human is born with a talent, passion, or something that they love or enjoy doing the most. Yeah, this is our human nature, and the surrounding events and accidents happens on daily life with us helps in shaping and paving the way for us to discover ourselves more and to know what things we enjoy the most doing and what things we don't. As for myself, I am passionate about tech world since I was a child back then in Damascus in Syria. So I remember very well, I used to, you know, my dad used to get us all these electronics products as his work involves traveling a lot outside the country. So he used to get us all these MP4, MP5. This was around 2005, 6. So I was passionate about playing around with it, about, you know, even modify it, fix them sometimes when it's needed. So this is something I love doing it since I was a child. So going back to the main question, what inspires me? Simply the people inspires me, the people of my country, my family, myself, those people who lacks basic need of daily lives, which is electricity. You know, even myself, I remember 2019, I went back to Syria to visit my family. And back then, the situation even till now of electricity is really miserable, unfortunately. Yeah. So imagine living only with 3 hours of electricity daily. Yeah. Can you imagine yourself having a full day?
Really? That happens today. 3 hours only per day of energy.
So basically one on, four off, one on, five off. So this is something that, you know, this is, again, this is a basic need for humans to do daily life. So this is something I have witnessed, I have tried myself, I know the suffering, I know how annoying it is. And we have a saying in Arabic, it is al-haja amma al-ikhtira'. It means the necessity is the mother of invention. So of course, whenever you face any problem, any obstacle or challenge in your life, you will always try to find a solution to make your life easy. Simply, yeah.
It's really great that, you know, you took matters on your own hand and you went after that. So I'm curious, you told me that it all started as a project for your university, right? Which you believe it was like the turning point that allowed you to change your mindset and turn this, you know, from a university project to, you know, a real business.
Yes, exactly. So I really believe that we need only one person to believe in us in order to keep us moving forward, to motivate us, yeah? simply one person. So back then, in 2019, during my capstone project for my senior design course while I was studying electrical engineering, I was giving the presentation for the project, which was a solar portable generator as well. So someone was invited to that class to attend the presentation, someone who is not technical background, someone who is not from the engineering department. This woman, she asked me after the presentation ended, she asked a very simple yet powerful question. The question simply was, what's next? What's your next step? As I come back from an engineering and technical background, so automatically, you know, directly my answer would be, yeah, of course, we'll have to improve the efficiency, we'll have to make it safety, we'll have to add more features to it, blah, blah, all this technical talk. So she shaked her head, and in determination again, she was like, no, what is next? So that made me think again, oh, she must have another meaning for this question, not something related to technical. So that was a really a turning point for me. So I was then invited to the AEIC Center, which is the AUD Entrepreneurship and Innovation Center at the American University in Dubai. I was invited there. I attended workshop. So it helped me go from the ideation phase to design thinking, to product development, and even taking this product to the market. So again, this is the turning point for me.
You know what? We have to spread this interview so it will get to this woman. So we'll have to find out who she is. If you get to you see, you played a powerful role here with this project. So let's hope it reaches her. And then from then, it was just this successful role. You said that you got some awards, you got featured in Expo Dubai, right? Yeah. Can you just go through this journey?
Sure. So from that moment, as I mentioned, I attended workshops. We attended something called the University Entrepreneurship Program. So this is, it starts as a local university at the campus. Ideas compete with each other, and then it goes throughout the country. Universities compete with the best idea. So we were awarded around 15,000 dirham for being the first place on the American University in Dubai. Then we went and we competed in the universities locally. And one of the main things also that I'm really lucky to have it, like this was really super exciting for me, and still it is, that our project was featured at the Expo, specifically at the UAE Pavilion. They have a section in the UAE Pavilion called the Dreamers Lab. So basically they chose around 20 projects from all over the country, from different universities. And then they featured them. They did some interview with us. They took our pictures. They posted there. This is just to see the vision and to approve and say that this is the future vision of UAE. This is what the UAE is graduating, what's supporting, and so on.
That's really great. Congratulations. Okay. You know, having a portable renewable energy generator, we understand that you have, you know, both commercial and humanitarian uses, right? So we are talking about basically having energy supply in very remote places that, you know, has no electricity. So, you know, it can be useful if you go camping. It can be useful in a natural disaster field, or even in war. So I do have a couple of questions on that, right? First, regarding more the technical side of the project. So which are the main challenges you either overcame or you're still working on that you could share with us?
Every journey has its own challenges and obstacles. So in terms of the solar stocks, this is what we call our portable power station. This is a product or a system that depends heavily on a circuit board, on technical knowledge, and so on. So this is one of the main challenges we had and we are still facing, which is a lack of expertise, lack of experience, because as you know, I'm a fresh graduate. I'm someone who's still learning, still seeking knowledge, workshops from different places. So research and development for electronics, for tech products takes a lot of time, takes investment, takes expertise to come, put time and invest in such things. So definitely from my humble experience, I would tell you something really I faced. Sometimes it happens, but I'm trying to take over it. So, you know, I believe in every situation you want to deal with, I believe you should deal with your mental before dealing with this situation, because, you know, you will be facing stress, you'll be facing negative ideas, negative thoughts. So if you let these things control you, like I swear, this is something I have experienced it, and sometimes I still experience it, but I have figured out that really you have to deal first with your mental, with your brain, to overcome and control it before controlling and solve any challenge or obstacle. So this is something I really focus on. I really try to push myself to motivate, keep myself positive. And definitely obstacle challenges are there, you know, financial perspective. We're already running a campaign on the Dubai Next. It's a crowdfunding campaign. This is it's a governmental digital funding campaign. So you can visit the website. You can see our campaign. We're talking to different angel investors, anyone who is interested to support us. This is, as I mentioned, research and development requires a lot of trials and sometimes a lot of prototypes. You could make up to 6, 7, 8 prototypes until you reach to a product that can go to market, because we're talking here about something that involves electricity. So this is safety is a main concern, especially people who don't have knowledge in rural areas or areas of disaster. And this people might have zero knowledge about electrical equipments or any related type of work. So we need to make sure that this is a product that can be used by any person and taking the highest standards of safety and efficiency and quality, of course.
Yes, I think that, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, especially dealing with products that are supposed to somehow disrupt, right, the industry, you at the very least need to be very resilient, right? I think resilience is one of the best words for that. Could we cover some use cases? We mentioned before that it can be for both leisure and travel and humanitarian cases. You know, let's just cover some of the applications of it.
Sure. So to talk about both energy, solar energy and wind energy, we are talking here about the sun radiation and the speed of the wind. Yeah. So we have to consider two factors in designing a system. So again, when we design a system, we study the location or the area very well to see which system fits better, or if both system can be implemented on our system to get the maximum power generation from this system. So as of now, as we mentioned, that the Solaris Box system, it's targeting two customer segments, entertainment and emergency or humanitarian side. So as for the entertainment, we're focusing on UAE, GCC, so these countries that where there is a lot of involvement in outdoor activities, camping, and so on. So this is a convenient solution for you to take it to the desert in order to support all your appliances, such as phone, laptop, lights, projector, any type of electrical product or appliance. And even you can support your car in case the battery die of your car. This is something that happens usually. So usually they get another car in order to charge the battery of the car. So this is also falls under emergency, although it's an entertainment, but at the same time, it's kept. So this product, for entertainment, it's meant to be kept in the car, yeah, in order to get the maximum benefit out of it. And of course, this system can be charged through the power supply at our home, the wall socket, and through solar panels or through the car. So let's discuss the solar panel here. So we have designed basically what's called Solaris PV panels suitcase. So basically there are a type of solar panel called flexible. This is the only type you can use because these are lightweight and very portable, because we cannot have a normal solar panel that are fixed. See, there are different types. So we have to use a specific technology for the specific requirements or application. So what we build is a 100-watt solar panel suitcase. This is two solar panels that are folded into each other and zipped into a suitcase. This can charge the Solaris Box 500 specifically in around 5 to 8 hours. This depends heavily on the sun, on the weather, on the cloud, on the humidity. Many, many parameters play a big role in the hours of charging the system fully. So coming back to the emergency, so we're working on building a bigger system, basically a system that can support a hospital, educational institutions, places where natural disaster happen and it causes a power outage and so on. So this system They are less portable than the one we are making for the entertainment. This is like a semi, let's call it a semi-portable, a system that contains batteries and of course a circuit board. It can be fixed somewhere close to where it needs to supply power to. And as I mentioned, we can get use of both resources, solar and wind. This is again depends on the location, weather condition, and so on.
Yes, and actually that was going to be my next question to you. So, you know, both solar and wind generators, they depend literally on the sun shining, on the wind blowing. So I believe not all places would be suitable for that. So I understand that your solution specifically, you can still charge it other ways. It doesn't only rely on solar. But when we're just focusing on solutions that are, you know, entirely focus on the sustainability part, and it's just solar or just wind, it will depend where you can take. Like, could we take it to Ukraine during winter for our solar solution, or you kind of have to really be strategic regarding the location, the emergency that is going to be solving, right? Is that one of the main challenges, or do you believe there are going to be solutions for that?
It is one of the challenges. It's a main challenge because this is again something. It's a fact. Yeah, this country has a range of the wind speed of this to that, or this country has a sun radiation. You know, there are data throughout has been done throughout the years, the past years, that, for example, Dubai, how many days the sun at full capacity, how many hours, and so on. So it only requires more study, more researches to know exactly the fit of a certain renewable energy resource, where to place it exactly. So as of Ukraine, in winter, for example, we could get use of the wind energy. I haven't done the research exactly, but I know that area is more, the sun doesn't shine much in winter, and it's a cold area. So basically, unlike Dubai, of course, so basically, definitely, we can do research, go test the system over there. I'm pretty sure that these two, the solar and wind, can work either at the same time, or we get use one of these at a specific location.
Yes, for sure, have to be strategic about it. You know, it's still about Ukraine. With the whole crisis, the prices of oil and gas have risen crazily, right? Do you believe that this movement of having such an expensive access to oil and gas will accelerate investments on alternative and sustainable energy sources? Are you seeing this happening?
Yeah, so the oil price today reached, I think, if I'm not wrong, $99 per barrel. Yeah, it jumped a bit from where it was before the crisis of Ukraine. However, we already saw a push promoting this renewable energy from the US, from other countries. I believe this thing will take some time. This is not something that within few days or few months will be implemented. Definitely, this will accelerate the promoting of renewable energy in many areas in Europe specifically. However, as I mentioned, these systems, solar panel specifically, takes time to be installed, takes time to move, to adapt to it. And we're talking here, you know, solar panel investment, anyone who have invested or installed a solar panel knows that the return of investment starts not before 3 years minimum. So you're investing in something that you're putting your money at for minimum 3 years, you won't get back your money. So this is also another obstacle that some people might face. Okay, government, see what I believe a government should push for it, because government are the one controlling mainly in some countries, like for example in UAE, it's mainly government. In other countries, maybe government and private sector. So I believe these companies, energy companies or government, should give incentive for companies or even residentials who are willing to install this system, for example, waive taxes, waive certain charges because of the installation of such a system on their house.
I completely agree with you. And it's still, as much as the costs are for sure, they're coming down, you know, that it's getting less expensive, but still for individuals, it's a high investment. It's still a high investment. It's still very complex, you know, depending where you are. And it takes a long, long time to see return on investment. So, you know, I think that nowadays, depending on where you are, you really have to want it to do it, or else, you know, you really need more incentives. I completely agree with you. You know, when we were talking, when we met, You mentioned to me the NEOM project. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. So I went to research that for the listeners that are not aware. It's this self-sustainable, eco-friendly Middle Eastern city planned to be built in the desert, 100% powered by wind and solar energy. So critics say that those efforts could be taken, you know, domestically already, as Saudi Arabia has less than 1% of electricity generated with renewable energy. And the defenders on the other side, they say it's necessary to start afresh and build a smart and sustainable city powered by wind and solar with water provided by carbon-free desalination plants. And, you know, as we know, water is naturally a huge issue in the region, right? The way it's desalinated today, it's extremely polluted. So there's this chance of using renewable energy to be desalinating water and be solving like three issues on the same time. I'd love to know your thought on the project. Are you like more on the pro side, or do you think it should be done differently? What's your personal opinion about that? And are you optimistic? Do you think that it's something that is actually going to be, you know, happening in the coming years?
Yes, hopefully. I mean, this is seeing it from someone who is passionate about renewable energy, someone who cares about a sustainable future for the humanity. Definitely, this is something that it's really interesting and something that we all love to be a part of it. So coming back to the name, yes, it is called NEOM. So basically, NEO, N-E-O, stands for new in Greek. And M is the Arabic word mustaqbal, which means future. So basically, new future. This is a big thing. This is a city, as you mentioned, it will be fully dependent, 100% generating its power from renewable, not only solar and wind. There are other ways of generating renewable energy. I mean, get a resource from a renewable, sustainable energy. There is the from water, biomass, there are multiple. So this is a big city, almost 25,000 kilometers square, a country that 100% runs on renewable energy. And yeah, this is a big thing. I would love to be a part of it. This project, NEOM, it will not only help in reducing the carbon footprint by being 100% sustainable. The project will involve investment in the medical sector, investment in the information technology, in the automation, in multiple areas. So I believe this project will give us a lot of opportunity to discover new things in multiple sectors, you know.
Understand. So basically you're saying that things that we are going to be researched and invented for this region are going to be used anywhere in the world at the end, right? It's basically a live think tank that as much as you need to provide for this city, there are going to be solutions that can be exported everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Benefiting all the sectors. So that's great. So, I have a last question for you, and it couldn't be a different one. What's next for you?
Of course, this is the turning point question, right?
Right?
You kept it until the end. Lovely, lovely question. So again, I'm passionate about creating energy solution products and services. So I will keep moving forward. First, I will have to make the perfect solution, which I'm working on to be in the hands of people as soon as possible. And of course, we will have to, you know, come up with a new innovation, new ideas that will help not only people in need, you know, people in general, as humans, if we can come up with an invention or a new product or service that could sustain or help us living a better life, I mean, that would be amazing. And of course, with the help of all our partners, our investors, people like you, you know, this podcast will, of course, might open really good opportunities for us. So this is something we love doing it. And thank you again for this opportunity.
It was lovely to have you on the show. We are all cheering for you. Thank you so much. And I hope that our Future Hackers Network are going to be able to, you know, generate some great insights for you as well. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Gabe.
Thank you. Thank you, Maria, so much for having me.
Future Hacker. Life. Path. Future.